Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And John, I think we have a little bit of a special episode today.
Well, we teased it yesterday. This is the almost full Chani Minute Podcast.
It is. It's a little bit of a... A little bit of a secondary reason why this is a little bit.
Oh, is this the one? Is this our 300th episode?
This is our 300th episode, buddy.
I knew it was coming up. Yeah. I didn't know if it was this one or tomorrow's.
That's why I panic checked.
Oh God! Oh God! Oh man! Oh God! Oh.
In between recordings, because I had to make sure. Yes, this is fucking episode 139 of season 2. So if you take into account season 1,
talking about minute 138 through 139.
Talking about minute 138, of course, yes. But if you take into account for all of the movie one and our summer schools and every other episode that we've released in between then.
All the prophecy stuff.
This is our 300th episode being released.
Whoa, that's a lot of Dune Minute.
Congratulations, bud.
Oh.
Normally we have statistics to share, but I didn't prepare any, so...
I can pull some up real quick. Give me 1 second. I'm panicking. Oh, God. It's not... Oh, God. Oh. okay. And recently, we've had a pretty large population of listeners in Sweden.
Nice.
Shout out to our Swedes. They're actually our most, like...
Or sweethearts.
All right. this episode's over.
All right. It was a quick one.
No, the Swedes are our most like active, I would say, listeners, at least as of late. So shout out to all of our Swedes. Oh, man. All right. So if you want to dive into some weird statistics, I think last time we did this, over 50% of our listeners were listening on Apple Podcasts. Not anymore. 36% of our listeners are on Apple Podcasts. 25.95% are on Spotify.
What's your date range there? What are you looking at?
This is...
I have a hard time believing that Apple would have such a large fall off like that. I'm not like an Apple fanatic, but I just know this industry a little bit.
Well, the formatting for this site is just complete shit.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Like.
Oh, my God.
Like this. Hold on. Let me.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Yeah. This CSS style got. That's only the last 7 days. Okay. So hold on. Let me look at the last 180. Yeah, even in the last 180, Apple Podcasts is 35%. Spotify, 24.4%. Really? Overcast is 14%.
Okay.
And then, like, there's a bunch of other smaller
podcasts. Oh, so you're not talking about, like, mobile device platforms. You're talking about the
I'm talking
the
about the actual podcatcher.
Oh, okay.
Itself.
Gotcha. I thought you were talking about...
If we want to talk mobile device platforms...
That's what I would like mobile OS.
Okay. So mobile is 93%. Computer, no.
Okay, mobile.
Yeah, mobile is 93.8%. Computer is 6%.
Shout out.
Smart speaker, 0.05%. Smart TV.
Hey, Siri.
Stop listening. Smart.
You want me to stop listening for my life?
Oh, my God. Yes.
No.
Okay. I've turned Hey Siri off.
Fuck. God damn it.
I wonder. Okay, so you're
now. I have to go back into the fuck. I have to fucking go into the home app after all this shit and fix it. Fuck you. All right. Anyways, smart TV 0.01%.
Who's listening on their Samsung TV?
Could be an LG.
Could be a Vizio.
As far as the actual devices themselves, 68% of our listeners are iPhone users.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
16.5% are Android users. Mm-hmm. 8.2% are other mobile device users.
Someone's still rocking a Windows phone out there?
Maybe. Who knows? Well, 3% are on a Windows computer.
Okay.
2.9% are on an Apple computer. Interesting that no one listens to fucking podcasts on their computer, and 0.41% on other.
Raspberry Pis, probably.
Nope. Those would, well, I mean, those would be, yeah, I mean, technically machines. A Linux, you know, computer.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, we have, I'm looking at the map, like the actual map of our listeners. Still not in Australia, or still not in Antarctica. We have actually a lot of Australian listeners. But
we'll get to McMurdo Station one day.
But yeah, so United States is our most popular
shocker
demographic. I know, right? Followed by the United Kingdom, then Canada, then Sweden. But the comment about the Swedes being the most active was actually in our past 7 days. In our past 180, the Swedes fall into second place behind the city of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Shout out to the listener in Albuquerque. Listeners.
It goes Albuquerque, then Malmo, Sweden, then Houston, then Dublin. I wonder who that is. And then Atlanta.
Or shout out to the VPN server in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Probably. Who knows? Yeah, so US, UK, Canada, Sweden, Ireland, Australia, Finland, South Africa, Portugal, South Korea, Japan, Hong Kong, and then other.
Man, did you ever think that people all over the world, John, all over the world, save for Antarctica,
would listen to our dumbasses talk for actual hundreds of hours about Dune? Never.
Man. I wish this made my parents proud.
So we're talking about
No, my mom, unprompted, called me and said that she was proud of me the other day, and it was very nice.
What's wrong?
That's what I asked.
Well, who's sick?
My first reaction was, why? Man, that's crazy. Those are some really, really awesome demographic stuff. Thank you, everyone, to listening to 300 episodes of this dumb podcast.
Yeah, if you listen to us, why?
Why, but also thank you. Very appreciative.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Very, very thankful that we have the audience that we do. I'm confused.
They yearn for Dune. People yearn for our insight, John.
They yearn for Worm.
They yearn for Worm. Amazing. That's really good. Needs to be on a t-shirt somewhere. Nope. Yearn for Worm.
Nope.
I'm not going to make it. All right, man. Well, that's enough patting ourselves on the back. Let's get into this minute.
As we talked about, as we said earlier, we are talking about minute 138 through 139
mm-hmm.
of Dune Part 2.
That's right.
By Denis Villeneuve. We left off with Paul walking by himself very briefly before thousands upon thousands of Fremen fundamentalists start spilling over the dunes behind him. And we get those Fremen fundamentalists spilling over the dunes for 18 more frames in this minute before we hard cut to a very calm part of this basin.
It's very open desert.
Eric Keane's in the background. We see mm-hmm. the mixture of the weird bulbous Harkonnen construction on top of the very like desert-oriented Fremen construction of the city. But we get that for only a few seconds before a bunch more different Fremen, armored Fremen, rise from under the dust.
Yeah.
And I have some questions.
Okay.
First of all...
They're just popping up. And there's a bunch of them just popping up out of the sand.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of them popping up out of the sand. So, okay. Minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
as the missiles were being launched,
mm-hmm.
we had Paul looking out, watching the missiles fly across the sky. And then we cut to Chani, who was with the rest of the Fedaiken, and they were standing on the cliffside watching the missiles fly across the sky.
Yeah.
And then the missiles hit the ground.
Yeah. I know exactly where you're going with this, and I'm excited.
Why?
Why?
Did you leave your Baron. Keys upon the table?
Baron.
Baron. Why the fuck would they go bury themselves in the desert? Why weren't they spotted all running out to go bury themselves in the desert to then just immediately pop up out of the sand and then sprint across the space and...
I have no idea.
John, like, this like, confused okay, so, me. So the burying thing makes sense with the spice harvester attack. Totally makes sense. The Fremen know where the Harkonnen would want to, you know, go harvest the spice. They can go bury themselves several hours before, you know, the spice harvester arrives. And then there's an element of surprise. This all just seems like so much unnecessary extra work for no reason at all.
So the times that we've seen them bury themselves and pop up out of the sand. So what you said, just the harvester makes total sense. We saw it maybe once or twice in the first movie.
We only saw it in a vision. That's not true.
Or in the prequels. It was the like the opening shots.
Well, so there was the opening shot. My desert or my planet Arrakis is so beautiful when the sun is low, talking about like setting the stage. There was Paul's prescient vision when he and Jessica were in the tent and he was seeing what would come to be this battle.
Yep.
Though I have some notes on that later on, which we'll get to after I, you know, finish, you know, talking about this here real quick. We see it in the Nexus as the Sardaukar descending.
Sure.
You know, the Fremen had buried themselves underneath their coffee service, which you so rudely said no to.
Yeah, it's gross. We don't have to rehash this. It's gross.
Fuck you. They offered coffee and you said no thanks.
We don't have to rehash this. It's gross.
Okay, well, we saw the Fremen jump out from the sand and kill some of the Sardaukar, but clearly the Sardaukar won that one because, you know, there was the whole thing with Duncan Idaho having to fucking kill a bunch. Though sad that we'll never see Duncan Idaho again.
I know. Rest in peace.
He'll never pop up. And then
all of this to say.
Yeah, that's all that we got in part one. And then in part two we had
I didn't mean to open the encyclopedia.
A couple instances of them being buried and attacking as well. So yeah, it's consistent.
In all of these instances, they are buried to attack the people who are walking above them.
Correct.
So not why just, are they a football field's
a length? Football field, motherfucker, it's like a mile.
I don't know if it's that long, but they get really close to the Sardaukar camp. Yeah. Now, and we know from scenes coming up that this is Chani.
Yep.
And we know about 45 seconds ago.
Well, we knew from scenes minutes back that this was Chani because Paul gave direction for Chani and her Fedaiken to attack from the east.
Some direction, yeah.
Yeah. Had a
25% chance of getting right.
Because Paul was coming from the north, Chani from the east, Stilgar and his Fremen from the west.
Okay.
Granny will serve Arakeen for dessert.
Right. About 45 seconds ago, she was on a ridge, like you just said.
No, it was more than 45. This was about, well, let's see. It was on Friday's minute.
Okay, the point that I'm getting at, I'm just going to keep us trucking here.
Okay.
The point that I'm getting at is what you just said was how the fuck did they get so close without being detected? Now, I think I have a headcanon way.
Did they get into the sand and then snake their way?
They maybe used one of those sand impactors.
I'm a snake.
Sneaky snake. I think they sneaky snake their way through the sand with the sand compactor.
But you would have seen the fucking sand off in the distance being all like jumpy and shit.
Maybe they went deep and then just came back up.
So they're mole people.
I mean, you saw where they lived, so kind of, yeah.
Damn, bitch, you live like this?
You saw the, I mean, we've seen the siege, so, I mean, that's not an unreasonable conclusion. It's a little bit derogatory, you know what,
you know what? The sand compactor thing actually does make sense.
Yeah. That's how they buried the tents.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But also, why would you jump out?
But okay, but why would you stop there?
Yeah.
Why not go actually underneath the starter car camp? Because and this is just me thinking about the tactical advantages of popping out of the dirt.
Right? Yeah, you want to catch them by surprise.
You want to basically flank them.
Yeah, and not
doing this. Not give them time to prepare for you, like doing a medieval battle style rush up.
I can only just imagine the scene with Lancelot from Monty Python and the Holy Grail as he's like running up to the castle. Exactly. And then he's like, and it's just like the same clip over and over until he finally gets there and just like
takes him by, it takes him by surprise.
He stabs the one guard and the other one's like, hey.
That's exactly what I feel like is happening
here. Yeah.
So why stop there? Also, how good are these sand compactors where they can tunnel their way this far, because it looks like a pretty fucking far distance.
Yeah.
In about a minute and a half.
Well, we saw how good the sand compactor was in part one.
Okay. So maybe they just like hold it out and it creates a tunnel and they just walk through it. I don't know, man. But they're spaced so far apart that each Fremen would have to have
their own sand compactor.
Their own sand compactor. Yeah. I don't know, man. This whole part is really stretching credulity.
I watched this and I was like, what? Like, even in the theater, I was just like, huh?
It doesn't make sense where they popped out, like where they, unless they had initially, maybe, and this is unsubstantiated headcanon.
Okay.
Maybe the Sardaukar were at this point to where they would pop up directly underneath them. And they saw the worm attack and they all like contracted back into the camp. So the Fremen who were under the sand were just like, all right, fuck it. I guess we got to just go now.
No, because like even when we had the opening scene at the start of this minute, they were still hard in formation there. And they wouldn't have contracted towards the camp because they would have wanted to continue running away from the worms. So the ones on the far side that Chani would be attacking would be running towards where Chani and all of her people were. But
that's true. I don't know. It's very strange. I think they just wanted to show that this is something they can still do.
Okay.
And and when I say they, I mean the filmmakers.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it does look cool. It looks fucking cool. We love seeing them pop out of the sand, but it makes no sense for them to do it where they did it.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, okay, so I, a couple minutes ago.
Okay.
Sorry, a couple episodes ago, maybe last episode, I said that there's some funny CGI here. The funny CGI happens in this, like, rush to meet the Sardaukar.
Yeah.
If you watch any of the individual Fremen who are running across,
yeah,
it is clearly just like a 2 or 3 second loop of a person running.
Yeah.
And then some of them have clearly like glitches where they start their run again.
I was gonna see if you noticed that as well.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And some of them are running so erratically. It's just like a three. It's like what is that video game Quap?
Yeah.
It almost looks like a Quap person running.
Yep. But normal sane people don't watch this movie frame by frame, so you know. But anyways, we get hand-to-hand combat. Yeah, this is the Chani Minute podcast now, and we are just camera behind Chani, watching her cut her way through a bunch of different Sardaukar and everything.
And we know it's Chani because of her blue armband.
Yep. We get all sorts of crazy aerobatics and like crazy moments.
Parkour.
That she goes through to take out 8 different Sardaukar. Hmm. And I went back to Dune Part 1, minute 98 and 99.
Okay.
Where we had the horrible CGI of Paul's face in an armored Fremen suit. That... Paul in that vision sucks ass because he only took out 5 Sardaukar.
Get wrecked.
Yeah.
He's not a Fremen, so.
But the armor that he's wearing in that, I actually prefer to the armor that Chani is wearing here, because Chani's armor is like super like clunky and weird.
It's very Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
It's very Starship Troopers. She's doing her part, John.
I hate this helmet so much. I don't think I can understate how much I hate the way that this helmet looks. It's so goofy.
Did you ever take karate as a kid?
No, but I know exactly where you're going with this.
Like the plastic foam headgear and arm stuff that you would wear. It's like children's karate.
Yep.
That's exactly what this looks like to me.
Yep. I would still rather take this, though, than the shitty CGI Paul face that we had.
Well, she does the same, like, turnaround and look at camera kind of thing.
Yeah, but she's like kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of... There is one thing that I want to talk about with the choreography, though, because I will admit I didn't bother to go through frame by frame throughout the entire sequence. But the last Sardaukar that we see her kill, she does like a kick flip, kicks him in the side of the head, and she goes to like stab him with her right arm. He grabs her right elbow.
Yeah.
So that arm can't move. And she does this sick ass thing where she drops her Chris knife out of her right hand into her left hand and then like reaches over and slashes his throat with it.
Ooh, a little bit of foreshadowing.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
All right.
Anyways.
That's a good catch. I didn't catch that.
Yeah. It's cool. And then 43 seconds in, after Chani gets a couple seconds to catch her breath, we see a giant explosion come out of the side of the Imperial tent.
Yeah. I mean, this goes to show, you know, cheap temporary construction, you know, it's not always going to be the best.
This is what happens when you don't hire, you know, union construction workers.
It's true.
You know, when you try and be sleazy and not pay your workers appropriately and, you know, have shitty, you know, construction jobs.
This is what happens.
We see this and we see how shitty and flimsy the siding is because we can see it like cracking and just like
buckling,
basically falling apart.
Yep.
It basically kind of gets turned into dust.
A lot of it does, explosion. Then we cut to inside.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
We don't cut to inside because we get the explosion in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a top-down view of the explosion. We see the explosion happening and we see a little bit of dust cloud on the ground level outside of the building. Appreciate that. But I don't know if you noticed, on the other side of the building, there is a worm that is riding parallel to one of the sides.
Okay.
And then perpendicular to that worm is another worm that like breaches up out of the sand and it basically like flops down on a bunch of a bunch of ships and stuff. And it looks like when you watch a whale kind of like breach out of the water and just like smack it super hard. It's basically that motion. But it's really funny because you just see this worm just go like up and it's just like bam.
I missed that completely. I was too focused on the explosion. That's really funny.
It's kind of funny if you go back and watch it.
I guess rest in peace the Fremen who were riding that worm. Don't know how they would stay on after
8 seconds, baby. That's all they need.
So inside the ziggurat, the Sardguard are drawing their weapons.
The Sardguard?
Sardguard, yep. And they kind of make a slight perimeter, not a perimeter, just a line. In front of the royal court here.
Yep.
They kind of section them off. For the rest of this minute and for our minute after this, tomorrow's episode, it's going to be a lot of staring in between Ur-Lan and Shaddam and Fade and everyone else here.
Yep.
So I'm just going to say they continue to stare.
One thing that I thought was interesting, though, is that Shaddam and Ur-Lan and Gaisel and Moheim and all of the other members of court, instead of staying where they were on the high ground, have now shifted to the low ground, all off to the side.
Yeah.
All together.
Because we saw that they have higher platforms where all of them could have fit.
Yeah. What's up with that?
What's up with that? We did not see them descend the many stairs from the throne to get to the bottom.
Yeah.
It seems like all of them would have had to have kind of like walked around the Baron to get down there.
Well, you do see some of that with like the last little bits of the court members and everything. So, yeah.
Because he's notably unguarded.
Just face down.
Just face down on the stairs, just writhing.
I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, whales breaching the water. In this case, we have a beached one.
He's a beached whale. That's right. The Bashar steps.
A beached whale and a muumuu.
Yep. Yeah. Bashar steps forward, and then we cut to the very beginning of a Baron wheeze.
Yeah. And we get the top of his head, and then the start of a.
Yep. Yep. And that is where our minute ends.
Guess we'll have to come back tomorrow and figure out what they're staring at.
I want to do that. Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. Until tomorrow, though, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com to get in touch with us that way. We're going to wrap this week up on tomorrow's episode, and we'll see you then.
See ya.